Good evening. Thank you so very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. Our Father is amazing. Our God is so good. He's so kind. He's so gracious to us. I trust that you are doing well, you and your loved ones, you and your family. Our Father is beyond description. He's walking in ways that are difficult for us as mere humans, mere mortals, to wrap our minds around. We're so thankful to Him for His goodness, for His love, for His mercy. I thank you so much tonight, whatever platform you are joining us on, wherever you are in the world, in this nation, in the continental United States, or in different parts of the world. Thank you. You might even be listening to this Bible study or teaching afterwards at a later time. Thank you. The presence of God is right here with us. We're truly excited about the meal, the spiritual meal that the Lord has prepared for us. I am very, very expectant tonight about all that the Lord will do as He fills our cup even more with His love. Remember, we have been studying together what we have titled for the last more than 2 months, actually, what we have titled The Love, God's Love Revolution. And it's getting bigger and bigger. I know we're getting to a point where we're going to switch gears a little bit. And we're going to go up a notch. And I'm really excited about that. I'm looking forward to that. But for tonight, the Lord wants to top our cup of love again. He wants to fill that cup to overflowing. For several weeks, we have talked about how the measure of love that each of us has as God's children is not supposed to remain at the same level where it's always been. That measure of love is supposed to increase and increase and increase and increase and then abound, overflow. Because that's where the real power is. That's where we begin to enjoy the exceeding abundant working of God, of the power of God in our lives. So as we take this next step tonight, I am really looking forward. Paul prayed in multiple places. We have read some of these scriptures before, and we'll just touch on them again tonight before we press on and trust God to fill that cup of love again. But he prayed in multiple places, first in Ephesians 3, that we would come to know the love of God. We would know the breadth, the depth, the height, the length of the love of God. And we will know the love, we'll have a knowledge, a revelation knowledge of that love in such a way that it is just beyond a mental assent, a mental knowledge, but that it's a revelation knowledge. It's something that it becomes a deep revelation to us. Glory to God. And then he prayed he prayed for the church in Philippians 1:9 is praying that their love would abound more and more, it would increase, it would excel, it would overflow. Same thing, similar prayer in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. We have looked at all of this, but again tonight, that's what we're doing. As we get ready to switch gears and move on up a notch in this, our studies of God's love revolution. So let's bow our heads. Let's share a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much. I am so thankful to you for the privilege, the honor, God, the grace that you have made available to all of us. I thank you especially for your word that you have given to us, God, and the privilege of being able to break the manner of your word to your people. Lord, I thank you for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's online with us tonight and those that will be listening to this teaching afterwards. I pray your blessings over them and their loved ones, them and their families. I pray, Father God, that you visit each and every one of us tonight. Lord, cause the eyes of our understanding to become enlightened. Grant us deeper revelation, deeper clarity in the knowledge of your word. Father, we thank you. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. You are our divine master. You are our teacher. Hallelujah. You are our teacher, a teacher who knows no limits in the graces of teaching and illumination. So illuminate the word of God to us tonight, to all of your people. Grant us grace. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you so much again for joining us. Hallelujah. Here you are. Romans 8:31. In the Passion, you know, we've read this a few times. I just want to read that right through again. Romans 8 from verse 31 all the way to verse 39. Of course, in the King James, that's very familiar, but I really love the Passion translation rendition of this scripture. It says, so what does all this mean? If God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? For God has proved his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his son. And since God freely offered him up as the sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else that he has to give. Who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them. We are not guilty. Hallelujah. Verse 34. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave his life for us. And even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us, since he is continually praying for our triumph? Remember the four redemptive acts of Christ, his death for us, his burial and resurrection, his ascension, and then his ministry of intercession as our high priest on the right hand of the Father. Glory to God. Verse 35, who could ever separate us from the endless love of God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love toward us. Troubles, pressures, problems, they are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder God's omnipotent love. Hallelujah. Verse 36, even though it is written all day long we face death threats for your sake, God, we are considered to be nothing more than sheep to be slaughtered. Yet even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors, and his demonstrated love is our glorious victory over everything. Hallelujah. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death. His love will triumph over life's troubles. His love will triumph over fallen angels. His love will triumph over dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love for us. Glory to God. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love for us. Finally, verse 39. There is no power above us and no power beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. Glory to God. Thank you, Father, for your precious love. Amen. That love that God our Father has for us is the strongest, is the greatest force, the greatest living force in the universe. Hallelujah. His love establishes us. His love establishes his plans for our lives. Glory to God. So as we said earlier on in our teaching, Paul prayed. Let's go back there and read this from the King James or the New King James. Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in his love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So when we know the love of Christ that passes knowledge, we will be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Verse 20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The more abounding the love of God is within us, the more abounding the power of God is on our behalf. The more abounding the power of God is in our lives. Hallelujah. Let's go right there to Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, and let's read that from the Amplified. Glory to God. This I pray. This is Paul's prayer. It's another one of his prayers, similar to the one we just read in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 14. This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more and extend to its fullest potential or fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment, that your love may abound more and more and more and more. And he uses those three words, increase, excel, overflow, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12. These are some of the prayers that Paul prayed for the church, knowing and realizing how important it is that the love of God, the measure of the love of God that each of us have, that we operate in, that we operate from, isn't the same measure that we came into Christ with, and isn't diminishing, but it is increasing, that you and I are continuing to grow in the love of God. We're continuing to abound and excel. Glory to God. This is one of my greatest prayers. Lord, help me to grow, to abound, to excel, to increase in your love. Yes, I do pray for increase in every other area of my spiritual experience, my relationship with God, my knowledge of him, my intimacy with the Holy Spirit, my faith walk, hallelujah, my consecration, my holiness, my righteousness, glory to God, my walk of authority and dominion. Amen. My pursuit of vision and destiny and purpose. Glory to God. All of that is powerful. But one of my greatest prayers is, Lord, help me to increase and abound and excel and overflow in your love. Help me to not remain at that same level where I've always been. Help me to increase in the love of God. He says that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 12 in the Amplified, may the Lord make you, he prays, may the Lord make you to increase and excel and overflow in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do towards you. Glory to God. I say big amen to that. May the Lord make you increase, excel, overflow in the love of God, just as we do towards you. So when we closed out last week, we identified four ways in which we can increase, excel, and overflow in the love of God. The original word that is used in the Greek that the King James translates into abound. Of course, the Amplified breaks that word abound into three words, increase, excel, and overflow. But in the original, is actually the word is abound. So even if you were to read that prayer, that scripture, 1 Thessalonians 3:12 and Philippians 1:9, if you were to read both of those in the King James, you'll see the word abound, right? I pray that your love may abound towards one another. That word means to increase, to excel, to overflow, right? That's Greek word. How do I then, that's the question, this is where we left off last week. How do I continue to increase and abound in the love of God. How do I, as a child of God, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, not as a religious man or woman, not as a Pharisee or Sadducee, not as a critic or judge, someone's pointing fingers. No. How do I, as a child of God, continue to increase and excel in the love of God? Because I know that's where His power is. That's where the power of God flows from, that exceeding abundant power that is made available working in the life, in the heart of every believer, is actually a power that springs from love, from the love of God, the agape love of God. So how do I, as a child of God, continue to increase and abound in the love of God, where I identified four ways last week? This is where we left off. Number one, we must continue to grow and have increased revelation knowledge of the love of God. There must be, like Paul prayed in Ephesians 3:14, from 3:14, we must continue to grow in our appreciation, in our revelation knowledge of the love of God. We must continue to increase. That's a spiritual thing. That's not a mind or mental thing. Like, there's a place for taking action. There's a place for analyzing and making decisions and determining to walk in love, to live the love life, to walk the love walk. There's a place for making that decision. There's a place for saying, no, that's not love, so I won't do that. This is love, I'll do this, right? The Lord wouldn't have done that, so I won't do that. I'll do this because that's love, right? There's a place for that. But it doesn't start. Our growth in love does not start from there. Our growth in love begins from a spirit. It begins from a spiritual reality. It begins from increased revelation knowledge of the love of God. So that's the first thing. Increasing in the revelation knowledge of the love of God. Then the second thing is also quite spiritual. That's spiritual, but it's also mental. It's spiritual, it's mental, it's emotional. It is in the spirit and it's in the soul realm, right? Embracing and receiving more of the love of God. How do I increase as a child of God? How do I continue to increase and to abound, to increase, to excel, to overflow in the love of God? Number one, I have to increase in revelation knowledge of the love of God. Number two, that's mostly spiritual. That is spiritual reality that has got to happen. And when the greatest way by which that happens is just is what we have been doing over the last several weeks, just immersing ourselves in the word of His love. We're going to do it a little bit more again tonight. We're going to take that one more step before we shift gears in our series of studies, right? Hallelujah. It's that spiritual reality of increasing in revelation knowledge of the love of God. It happens supernaturally, just like faith comes. Faith, the Bible says faith comes, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes. Therefore, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Whatever you want to develop faith for, you've got to hear it more and more and more and more in the word of God. If you want to develop more and more faith in any grace of life, if you want to develop more faith in the protection covenant that God has made with us, you have to hear more and more and more of the promises of God regarding divine protection. Right? If you want to grow, if you want to develop faith in favor and grow in the experience of God's favor in your life, you have to hear more and more and more and more and more of the word of God regarding the favor of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Whatever you hear and hear and hear over and over and over again that you meditate on will eventually be what you grow on in your spiritual experience, right? If you want to grow in the area of your needs being met, right? Hearing the word of God more and more and more on his promises to meet your needs is usually what will build faith in that area of your relationship. Hallelujah. If you want to grow in diligence, if you want to grow in sacrifice, that's a powerful one. We're coming to that very soon. If you want to grow in giving, glory to God, hearing more and more and more and more of the word of God in that area will cause faith to arise in your heart where that part of your spiritual experience is concerned. If you want to grow in authority and dominion, if you are you find yourself sometimes overwhelmed and shaken by situations and you want to learn, you want to grow in authority, in taking authority and in standing your ground as a child of God, you got to hear more and more and more of the word of God on spiritual authority. I know last year we did a series of teachings that we titled Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. And I, you know, periodically go back to a lot of the nuggets that the Lord taught us during that series of studies, right? If you want to elevate your life in any area, you have to start by renovating your mind through the word of God, right? How do you do that? You hear it. You hear it and hear it and hear it. You flood the zone. This was one of the things we learned last year. You flood the zone of your mind with the word of God regarding that area, right? If you find yourself struggling with unforgiveness, it's just hard for you to forgive people, to let things go, right? Or if you struggle with things like criticism, like being judgmental, right? If you struggle with, like, you know, any area where you know, I need to grow in this area. Well, what do? You flood the zone of your mind. You begin there with the word of God. But as you're hearing the word of God, it's also going, it's going in your spirit. And faith is growing and faith is rising up. Faith is springing up so that you can elevate in that area of your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, that is so powerful. So, if we want to increase and abound in the love of God, if we want to increase and excel and overflow in the love of God, it's not going to happen by itself. It's not going to happen organically. It's not going to happen, you know, absent us doing some things deliberately. No, one of the things that we have to do is increase our revelation knowledge of the love of God. And then secondly, like we said earlier, number two, we have to embracing and receiving more of the love of God. That has a lot to do with both our spirit realm and our soul, our minds, our emotions, right? Embracing the love of God. Do you know how many believers feel, oh, I don't qualify? No, I don't. It's hard for me to believe God will love me that much, considering all the things that I've done. Ah. And they continually struggle with self-condemnation and self-guilt, when all the Father is trying to do is get his love to them I think it was last week we talked about the story that, you know, we popularly call it, and it's described that way by some of the translators of the Bible who broke the Bible up into different sections. They called that story in Luke chapter 15 the story of the prodigal son. But like we said last week, if you think about it, his father never thought about him as prodigal. The word prodigal is actually a negative word in many ways, at least regarding what happened with that young man, with his son, right? I mean, someone who blows their inheritance, somebody who just devours and who just wastes resources of life. Somebody who throws things around and throws things away. Prodigal is not a word of commendation. But that's how we call that young man. We still call him today the prodigal son. When we talk about this, the story of the prodigal son. Well, how about we call him the restored son, right? How about we start thinking about him not as prodigal, right? Who took his father's money and took his father's resources and wealth and went and wasted it on harlots and then, how about because his father and God is not looking at him that way anymore, right? See, that's where the place of the mind comes in. That's where it becomes important to learn to embrace the love of God, both for ourselves and for others. Hallelujah. The Bible calls love the royal law. There's a royal law. It's a law of royalty. It's a law for those who are royalty. It's the law of love, right? That we embrace the love of God for ourselves, and we allow other people to embrace that love for themselves as well. Amen. Instead of looking at that young man as the prodigal son, the story of the prodigal son, how about we describe it as the story of the restored son? Because his father said about him, oh, my son once was lost, but now he's found, right? And his father restored to him. And he said to the servants, go and bring that robe. Bring him that best robe, put it on him. Bring that signet ring, that ring of royalty, put it on his fingers and go and kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party, right? What's he celebrating? He's celebrating the restoration of his son. Hallelujah. Now, it takes opening up the mind to believe that God is not holding anything against us. And there's so many believers who think, oh, you know, I mean, I don't think God could ever forgive me. I don't think I could. And of course, people in the world think like that. But worse yet, for believers who come into Christ and then carry this self-condemnation thing around. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. Glory to God. So the second way in which we grow and increase and excel and abound in the love of God is embracing and receiving more of the love of God. Just saying to yourself over and over and over and over again, God loves me. God loves me. I find myself saying that over and over and over again at different stages of life. I just go, God loves me. Hallelujah. God loves me. If there's some difficulty or some challenge that is coming my way and I don't know how to deal with it, and Satan begins to throw all these fiery darts against my mind and to scare me, to try to defeat me and overwhelm me with the negativity of the situation, I just go spontaneously, God loves me. God loves me. And you know, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, love demolishes all fear. Once, when you are in love, the Bible says when you are in love, you are in God. And perfect love casts out all fear. So I go, God loves me. See, what am I doing? I'm embracing the love of God in that situation. God, my father loves me. That's it. My father loves me. I know my father loves me. I know my father loves me. And then I go like that. And I'm more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I'm more than a conqueror. There's nothing that can overcome me. There's nothing that can withstand the force of faith that God has given to me. There's nothing that can limit me. There's nothing that can set me back. There's nothing. No, God loves me. My Father loves me. Hallelujah. So embracing and receiving more of the love of God. The third way in which we increase in the love of God and excel and abound, intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for us and the power it produces in our lives. Intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for us and the power it produces in our lives. Now unto him in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly over and above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Well, reminding yourself of that constantly, being conscious, intentionally reminding yourself of that, puts you in such a great place and causes the love of God to abound in you. Hallelujah. You take it from that previous step we were talking about, my Father loves me, my Father loves me. My Father loves me and therefore I'm more than a conqueror. My Father loves me and therefore I have the victory. My Father loves me and I'm going to come out of this. My Father loves me, I believe for a turnaround. Yeah, it may be taking a while. It may look like this may never happen. It may seem like all my confidence and all the faith declarations that I've made all of these weeks, all of these months, all this confession, our 2026 confession, hallelujah. This is the supernatural shift, a year of incredible power is changing hands. It may look like that. I don't really see evidence of that. But then I go to, well, God loves me. Because God loves me, I'm more than a conqueror. This adversity will expire and I will recover. I'm going to come out. Hallelujah. I'm going to rise above this. That power that God promised me is coming into my life. Why? Because he loves me. Hallelujah. Intentionally living with the consciousness of God's radical love for us and the power it produces in our lives. And then finally, this, like I said last week, this number four, is channeling and practicing the love of God intentionally every day. This is one we're going to spend a lot of time on. As when we get there, we're not there yet. We're working our way towards there. The Holy Spirit is taking us. Intentionally channeling and practicing the love of God intentionally every day. The more you give out, the more it overflows. Amen. And we read a couple of scriptures. Now, tonight, we just want to add to that love, we want to add to the measure of that love. Like I said earlier on, during our introduction tonight in this Bible study, we just want to add a little bit more to some of what we have done over the last few weeks. The Holy Spirit is helping us. We would want to add some more to it. And then we're going to start getting ready to switch gears. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. We're going to get ready to switch gears and go up a little bit higher, elevate a little bit higher in these studies. Amen. But for tonight, let's open up our hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to add more to what we have already received, right? The love of God, the love of God, glory to God. That first point, increasing in the revelation knowledge of the love of God, that's something we have to keep doing. And how do we do it? We keep immersing ourselves in the knowledge of the love of God. We keep immersing ourselves in the spirit of the knowledge of the love of God until we know the love of God that passes knowledge. Hallelujah. We know it in such a way that it passes knowledge. It becomes a revelation to us. It becomes experiential knowledge to us. Hallelujah. So God's amazing and God's love plan for us, we know about this. So let's not tune this out. But let's allow the Holy Spirit to add more. God has an amazing love plan for our lives. We know this, right? Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And let's read this from the Amplified. Glory to God. He chose us before we were even in the wombs of our mothers, before we ever did anything good or bad, God chose us. You've heard this before, right? So faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Because people, believers can hear this and they can know this in principle, but then they revert back again to thinking it was something good that we did that positioned us for the love of God. That's not true. He loved us before we ever did anything good or bad. Listen to what he said to Jeremiah. Before I formed you, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you and I approved of you as my chosen instrument. And before you were born, I separated you and I set you apart, consecrating you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Look at that. Before you were born, before I formed you in the womb, I approved of you. Before you were born, I separated you and I set you apart, consecrating you. That's his love. Long before we ever did anything good or bad, he loved us. He separated us. Glory to God. Just the illustration I love using when I think about this aspect of God's love for us is what God did for Adam and Eve. Right? He prepared that garden. They had not done anything good or bad, wrong or right. They hadn't walked in obedience or disobedience. They hadn't done anything. But the Lord provided that garden and he put them in there. Now, in order for them to keep that garden of Eden as their home, they needed to walk in alignment with God, right? They needed to walk in obedience to his word, to his instructions. And God didn't love them any less when they walked in disobedience, but their disobedience provoked the judgment of God. Their disobedience deprived them and denied them this provision that God had made for them. God didn't love them any less. Even when they disobeyed him, he did not love them any less. His love is an everlasting love. Maybe we'll get to read that again tonight. His love is everlasting. So if his love is everlasting, and he loved us before we did right or wrong, that means doing right or wrong does not change his love for us. Doing right or wrong, though, does position us to enjoy the provisions that he has made for us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 1, and let's read from verse 3. I love this. And I think I'm going to read this actually. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3. Oh my goodness, I love this. Let's read this first from the New Living Translation. And then I'm going to go and read the rest of it and go and read it again from the Passion Translation. But Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 in the New Living Translation. Remember, what we're talking about is God's amazing love plan for us. Right? A plan that he devised long before we were born, long before we were even in the wombs of our mother, like he said to Jeremiah. Hallelujah. He accepted us. He loved us. He prepared a love plan for us long before we demonstrated our ability to qualify or be disqualified from it. And his love for us is unconditional. Is not performance based. We've already said that. He loves us. He loves us anyway. Like we said in one of our earlier teachings, there's so many people that reject the love of Christ, right? In rejecting the love of Christ, God doesn't love them any less. He doesn't change his mind about loving them. The provision he made through Christ, through the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice, that provision is always there. But rejecting him disqualifies them, not because God loves them any less, but they disqualify themselves by rejecting his love plan. Hallelujah. God's love plan, like if we're all in a vehicle, in a bus, God forbid, let's say a bus or train, and there's an emergency, and there is maybe some poisonous gas in the atmosphere, maybe a carbon monoxide or something poisonous, something deadly, and there is a door out of that bus or that train or that car, and we're told, everybody evacuate, everybody evacuate, everybody leave, everybody get out, so you are not exposed to this poisonous gas that can kill you. There is a door. That's the door right there. Well, if we obey that instruction and we head towards the door and we get out, we're saved. We're saved. Whoever created the bus, the train, the car, created exits and entryways, right? And if we're told, everybody get out, that door is supposed to enable us get to safety. If somebody refuses to get out and chooses to stay inside of that train with the carbon monoxide or whatever the deadly emergency situation is, they're probably going to die. That's not because the manufacturer of the car intended for them to die through poisoning. No, that's because they chose in their self-will and in their foolishness to disobey and to disregard the provision that was made for their salvation and their safety. Hallelujah. Let's read this from the New Living Translation, Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Verse 4. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Just exactly what we read in Jeremiah a few minutes ago. Even before he made the world, God already loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Verse 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And it gave him great pleasure. That's why he gave us Christ. Verse 6. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. I want us to go read this from the Passion. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 to verse 6. Now, you may not have the Passion translation of the Bible, so just listen to me as I read it. This is really awesome. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. All because he sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate him with all our hearts. Verse 4. And he chose us to be his very own, joining us to himself even before he laid the foundation of the universe. Because of his great love. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we will be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Because of his great love, he ordained us so that we will be seen as holy in his eyes with an unstained innocence. Now, I want you to listen to verses 5 and 6. Because there's something he says here for forever, for as long as I remember. This is a deep spiritual reality that is really difficult for a lot of believers to accept. But it is true. It is truth from the Word of God. It is one of the greatest truths that can become a revelation to us. If we accept that revelation of that truth from the Word of God, it is not just liberating. It will put you in a totally different realm of of existence, of experience in your spiritual walk with the Lord. I know that from experience. A lot of people struggle with accepting this, but it's true. It's so big, it's so huge. I want you to listen to this. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 in the Passion Translation. It says, "For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that his tremendous love that cascades over us will glorify his grace. For the same love," now listen to this now, "for the same love he has for his beloved one Jesus, he has for us." Listen to that again. "For the same love he has for his beloved one Jesus, he has for us. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure." Did you see that line there, that phrase? The same love he has for Jesus is the same love he has for us. Do you know God doesn't love you any less than he loves Jesus? Yes, I know. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. He's our Messiah. He's our Redeemer. He's our High Priest. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He's that spotless Lamb who never did wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, I know that. I know that. But do you know that God didn't love Jesus because Jesus didn't do any wrong? God's love for Jesus and God's love for you and for me is unconditional. God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. This is a revelation that changed my life. God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Can you say that with me tonight? God loves me just as much as he loves Jesus. Can you say that again? God loves me exactly the same way he loves the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves me exactly the same way he loves Jesus. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ himself prayed that prayer. He said those words in his prayer, you know, his final prayer in John 17. Let's go read that. Let's read that from the King James. In John 17, I think it's verse 22, verses 22 and 23. Actually, you know what? Now, I'm going to read that from the Passion. Let's go here. John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Look at this. God loves me just exactly the same way he loves Jesus. He loves me just as much as he loves Christ. It's not based on anything that I do or anything that I don't do. He loves me just as much as he loves Christ. His love for Christ is exactly the same way his love for me is. Unconditional, everlasting, eternal, lavish, extravagant. He loves me just as much as he loves Christ. Listen to the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord Jesus Christ praying for the church in John 17, verse 22 and 23. He says, "For the very glory," he's talking to the Father, "for the very glory you have given to me, I have given them so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy." He's talking to his Father now. Look at verse 23. "You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me. For they will see, the world will see, that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me." Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. The world will see that you, Father, love each and every one of these Christians, these believers, You love each and every one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. God loves you with the same passionate love that he has for Jesus. I love this. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them. How? By the love of God. Of course, by the Holy Spirit. By the love of God. No wonder it says the love of God is shed abroad. Romans chapter 5, I think it's verse 4, verse 5. The love of God, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He lives fully in us by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. You live fully in me, and now I live fully in them, so that they will experience perfect unity, and the world will be convinced that you have sent me, for the world will see that you love each of them, each one of them, with the same passionate love that you have for me. Glory to God. The world will see that you love each one of them with the same passionate love that you have for me. 1 Timothy, let's go quick. Our time is going here. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. Let's read this from the Amplified. 1 Timothy, sorry, from the Living Bible. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, and verse 9. Let's read this from the Living Bible. Glory to God. I think the Living Bible is best here. Listen to this. But they were not made for us, whom God has saved. Okay, that's not the one I'm looking for. 2 Timothy, sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 is the one talking about he loved us even before we did anything. He poured his love upon us before we did anything good or bad. Listen, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. This is the Living Bible. It is he who saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began, to show his love and his kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Listen to that again. It is he who saved us, our Father. He saved us and chose us for his holy work, not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan long before the world began, to show his love and kindness to us through Jesus Christ. Of course, you know, you remember Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 3 in the Amplified. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Look at what he says. The Lord appeared from of old unto me, Israel. You can put your name there, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you, and I have continued my faithfulness towards you. With loving kindness I've drawn you, and I've continued my faithfulness towards you. Let's close out here in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Glory to God. Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to read this out of the New King James. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Let's read from verse 6. We're going to read from verse 6 to 9. And then we're going to jump to verse 13. Deuteronomy chapter 7 from verse 6. Let's read this from the New King James. It says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord, verse 7, the Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you, because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. Again, saying what we've been saying since earlier on in our teaching tonight, God didn't choose us because we did something. He didn't choose us because we were something. He didn't choose us because we had some advantage or the other. No, he chose us. He chose us regardless. Hallelujah. The Lord did not set his love upon you. He didn't love us because we did something good or bad. No, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath that he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand, and he has redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Moses is telling the children of Israel. We are being reminded too. Verse 9, therefore know this, that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Glory to God. You go down to verse 13, and he will love you. Ooh, he will love. He loved you already. He loved you. He loves you. And he will love you. His love is everlasting. His love for us is everlasting, endless, never ending, passionate, extravagant, lavishing, all powerful. Glory to God. He will love you, says in verse 13. He will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and your new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land which he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. He will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt, with which you have known, but he will lay them on all those who hate you. Hallelujah. The Lord will love you. And his love will produce great spiritual, great eternal blessings in your life. Believe that. Receive that. Embrace that. Father, thank you so much again for loving us. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us, to pay the ultimate price. Thank you for loving us as much as you love him. Thank you, thank you, thank you for living in us through him and through the Holy Spirit. Thank you for shedding abroad the love of God in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Thank you. Thank you for establishing us in destiny by your love. Thank you for fulfilling your word in our life through your love. Thank you for perfecting your plans concerning our lives because of your love. I give you praise tonight, Lord. We bless you. Receive the glory to yourself. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, saints, for joining us tonight. Our time is up. I look forward to seeing you same time next week. God bless you. Good night.